Welcome to Emptio Nation, where we feature visionaries who are pioneering the cutting edge of awakening. Psychedelic science, modern shamanism, neuroscience, new paradigm lifestyles. Get ready to harness the power of visionary states and forge reality into your wildest dreams. Citizens of Emptio Nation, this is Lorna Liana, and welcome back to another episode. I'm so heartwarmed by the fantastic reviews that I've been receiving for the show, which is truly a labor of love and a joy to bring together so many members of my visionary community. I'm so honored to receive this review from Alan Lundell of the Dr. Future Show. It's so great that Lorna has taken the bull by the horns and is openly exploring a topic that is past due for exploration by the mainstream. Dr. Future covers cutting-edge technology, culture, and media. You can catch his show on the airwaves at KSCO AM 1080 in Santa Cruz, California, or at drfutureshow.com. I'm really excited to have on the show today the cannabis couple, Swami and Nikki of Swami Select, a leading producer of organic sun, moon, and starlight-grown marijuana. This episode was filmed on their farm, and if you head over to Emptio Nation on YouTube, you will witness Nikki and Swami sucking down a huge fatty as they impart their cannabis expertise in about 20 minutes flat. Nikki and Swami are going to share with us what it takes to judge over 400 entries to the Emerald Cup, and do they really smoke over 400 samples in 3 days? As well as discuss some of the many health benefits of marijuana. Marijuana has a wide range of well-documented medical uses, from treatment of migraines and PMS to more serious conditions like glaucoma, Crohn's disease, and cancer. The American Cancer Association has found that marijuana considerably slows down tumor growth in the lungs, breasts, and brain. The American Medical Association found that, compared to tobacco smoking, which is the leading cause of lung disease, smoking marijuana does not impair lung function, and cannabis can even increase lung capacity. That's right. Smoke more marijuana, folks. It's good for your lungs. THC has been found to prevent Alzheimer's. CBD shows promise in reducing or eliminating seizures, with zero overdose fatalities and over hundreds of documented medical uses. There is no good reason for cannabis to remain listed as a Schedule 1 substance. Check out the list of 700 medicinal uses for cannabis, sorted by disease, and more at entheonation.com/16. If you would like to receive a free transcript of this episode, it is super easy. Simply text Emptio Nation, that is ENTHEONATION, to the number 44222. Just reply to the SMS with your best email to get access to premium content that's only available to bona fide citizens of Emptio Nation. If you like this episode, I would so appreciate it if you would take the time to rate and review the show in iTunes, as this will increase Emptio Nation's visibility in the iTunes marketplace and help get this life-changing information out to the people who need it. Now on to the show. Hello, visionary people of Emptio Nation. I'm here in Mendocino at a beautiful farm with my hosts, Sven and Nikki. And they're here to share with us what it takes to be a high-end potter and to be a judge at one of the regional cannabis cups. Is it regional?
It's regional. It's only for California.
Uh-huh.
It now does include all of it. It's called the Emerald Cup. Mm-hmm. And it's a cannabis cup, sun-grown, organic only. Mm-hmm. Of it is definitely only California. There's nothing like it in the world.
Wow, that's so great. So let's first start with your background. How did you become engaged with the art of cultivating high-end marijuana for medical purposes?
I've been smoking cannabis for years. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously.
Yeah. We've lived all over the world, yeah. India and places like that, particularly in India, where cannabis consumption is, actually quite common, and used to buy hash things from the government store. And it's also been known mm-hmm. as an herbal medicine in Ayurvedic medicine, which is the kind of medicine they practice still today in India. For 6,000 years, the Ayurvedic medicine has known cannabis has medical qualities, which they mix with other herbs. But nonetheless, we came to California. Nikki grew up in California. She was born in San Diego. And I came out here in the summer of love. And, cannabis is always central to that underground, music culture. And so we just sort of automatically came to it.
So tell me more about the Indian understanding of cannabis. And it really differs from, our American perspective.
Part of the mythology. One of the great gods, Shiva, mm-hmm. actually is notorious, shall we say, or well known for drinking bhang. And bhang is a mixture of cannabis flowers or leaf and ghee or clarified butter. And then it's baked into pastry, or you can mix it with yogurt. And so it's an edible. And so Shiva, one of the great god, Mahadev, is known for eating bhang and its acolytes also. Mm-hmm. And so that's as a, there's a whole idea about cannabis as a sacred gift. Mm-hmm. Right, that this is something that the gods have given and the gods themselves consume. It's the blessing of nature that comes through. And one of the things I want to talk about also is the idea that we're trying to say, is it medical, is it recreational? I'm going to put a new word out there, and that new word is cannabis is inspirational.
Love that.
And so it's creating the spirit of awareness within you. And so musicians know it, artists know it, anyone who's in a creative process knows that part of the process of creation is inspiration. So inspiration comes from inhalation. Or ingestion, as you like, right? But say like someone like Stewart or Bill Maher, and they're openly saying, hey, I smoke a joint before I come on the show. I get, inspired and fired up. And so part of it is the idea that you're expanding your consciousness through the cannabis, which means you hear better, you see better. Not only do you hear better, but you listen better, mm-hmm. right? And you perceive better. And your heightened awareness of food and all of those things. So my feeling is that most of us who started with cannabis, when we were younger, we did it because of the inspiration, the creativity with it. And Nikki was just saying yesterday about how we discovered the medical part in the West by accident.
Right.
How so?
Well, actually, the cannabis, for example, it comes from India, the seeds originally, mm-hmm. a lot of it. And originally, it always had CBD, THC, different components that had a lot more healing qualities. Over the years, it was in America and brought into the Western Europe and all over. People actively worked to take out anything but the THC with the seed. They would do...
Which they thought was what was stoned.
Right.
In fact, that's
everyone just
isolated.
Wanted to get more stoned, And so, unfortunately, they took it out. Well, grew a plant a few years ago that we took to Harborside, where we sell much of our cannabis, and they tested it like
they sent it to Steep Hill Testing Lab.
And it came back with a very low C, and what's the point? It doesn't even get you high. But then they see... But wait, it has the CBD, what's up with that? So that's kind of how they, we would have just used it for something else, actually.
But they found out about equal THC and CBD. And now, 10 years or so, we find out that when you have what they call a 1-to-1 ratio, THC, CBD, that applicable to more medical conditions than if you have a high of one or a high of the other. Nonetheless, there are certain conditions that actually require high THC. A lot of people are trying to say, well, THC is the euphoric thing and CBD is the meth thing.
Right.
And that's basically just wrong.
Oh, interesting.
Because they found that if you have someone, say, a child with epilepsy, mm-hmm. and there's dramatic evidence when it gets a glycerin-based cannabis drop, right? Mm-hmm. And with one squeeze of the glycerin, all of a sudden the child has no epileptic seizures for a month.
It's awesome.
Right? It's just amazing how
it's
this works, right? And so
it's such good medicine.
Yeah. So But the CBD doesn't work unless there's a little bit of THC there.
That's interesting.
So you just don't want to isolate the CBD. It's working. Science can manufacture that. No, it requires all of the things in cannabis for working. So each plant, in fact, becomes a unique combination of something. There are over 400 compounds in cannabis. There's like almost 100 cannabinoids.
And so each one of these combinations can be used to treat a different type of ailment.
Yes. The one that treats the most seems to be about 7% THC and 7% CBD.
Okay.
Right? But there's some that require very high CBD with just 1% THC. And there, isn't that someone that wants
cancer
the high
likes
THC?
The high THC.
Right?
Where epilepsy, I think, is the high CBD.
Epilepsy is high CBD. Yeah. So there are other ways. So some people, you can't smoke enough to get those quantities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where edibles come in.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the edibles come in, and with those, then you can say, okay, this edible has high THC, but mm-hmm. this one has high CBD,
mm-hmm.
but they have a little of the other. Right. And now these other things, these full extracts, you know, where they, of the 400 compounds, the oil has extracted all of it. Those then you can take with high concentration and you slowly build up accustomed to the euphoric part. But with the oils, the high concentrate full act oils, you can really get enough of the dose to have it be a medically curative.
What do you know about the treatment of cancer with cannabis oils or tinctures?
Oh, we've seen miracles happen.
So it's how would you miracles. Take this?
I mean, I don't know if you've experienced this. Amazing. I mean, at first we didn't expect this. We, mm-hmm. you know, we were just smoking it to get high, admit it, you know. But now we find out it truly, truly, truly is medicine. I mean, we just had a friend. Last week, we found out about a woman who was told she had fourth stage cancer, several kinds of them, and she worked for Harborside, so she was lucky she had access to all of this simple, or the really strong oil.
Mm-hmm.
And she just did as much as she could, I guess, as well as doing chemoradiation. But when she went back to the doctor, they said they couldn't believe it. It was gone, and they really had thought she was going to die.
It was back.
Was she taking it internally?
Yes.
Yes, she was taking what we normally call Simpson oil, but mm-hmm. basically what we're talking about is a full extract oil. But you can get a full extract oil from a plant high in CBD,
mm-hmm.
so the extract has a high percent of CBD, or you can get one a high THC and therefore the extract. So it's about the percentages. And you think the other thing about these kind of percentages is that we're talking about the entourage. Now, the entourage, it's not 50 Cent and the 10 people who run with them, Bo Daddy, whatever. No, it's about...
I was thinking entourage trees, you know, that follow you everywhere while you're in the enhanced state.
Yeah, well, that's what... Because of all those 400 compounds are activating within the cannabis, right. Especially when you get a full extract or when you smoke, you get access to all of those elements, but it's the balance so that each plant ultimately is totally unique in the balance of how many of this, how many of that. But what is the healing effect as well as inspirational effect is the combination of all those elements. One of the reasons why trying to isolate and extract and make a factory produced isn't going to work the same.
Mm-hmm. But there are some very, we know some wise people in these hills up here that are growing medicinal herb. And they do it to the extent that they get to know their patient,
mm-hmm.
and they figure out over his trial and error what really works. And then they literally grow that plant for that person, and it'll have a label on it and
one
all
patient
saying, you know, what it is, what the level is.
And that's your
balance.
Yearly supply
that's
of that
beautiful.
Particular
yeah.
dose, right?
Uh-huh.
And the other nice thing about it, plants usually get a name too, you know, because it's you know they're females, mm-hmm. and so people get all these fancy names. But yeah, it's about tailoring. Or meeting of the two, right. Of the plant and the person, right? Because we have cannabinoids in us. A mm-hmm. lot of people don't realize that we have cannabinoids in us, right? There are two kinds of cannabinoids in us. Well, you know, you have entheogenetics and entheo. So what does it mean? Right? God within,
mm-hmm.
right? So some substance that causes to realize God within.
Can't
is
be
true.
Bad.
Can't be bad, actually. yeah. And however you're going to call your God, right? So, you know, you're telling that causes you to realize that that divine energy is operating in your life. Actually, humans have known about this for 8,000 or 9,000 years. Yeah. I just was reading archaeologists on these, what look like little bowls. and they're actually carved out of stone. And this little bowl, it's a tiny little bowl like that. And in the bottom of the bowl, they found and seeds of cannabis. So the archaeologists...
Where did they find the bowl?
Well, somewhere like 5,000-year village,
was
right?
It, was they, in Egypt, or where was it?
I can't remember where it was. Hmm. But it was somewhere where they dug down, and they knew because of the archaeology uh-huh. exactly how old it was. And so, I mean, this is like 4,000 B.C. or mm-hmm. 2,000, you know, somewhere in there. And I should have the footnote for this,
you
right?
should, yeah, come really. On, no.
So we've been facts. Using the cannabis yeah. for a long time.
So the archaeologist says, well, they're using it for fence. Well, obviously, the archaeologist wasn't a stoner, because you don't burn this for the good smell, right? Uh-huh. But what I figure they were doing is this, they didn't have paper. They couldn't roll a joint. They didn't have ceramics, so they couldn't make a pipe. So what do they do is they have this little stone bowl. Uh-huh. They put a flower of marijuana uh-huh. in there, of cannabis, excuse me. Uh-huh. Put a flower of cannabis in there. Take a coal, charcoal from uh-huh. the fire, set it on top, uh-huh. right? And then they get their blanket or their animal skin. Three people are under there, and they're hotboxing.
Put all that charcoal.
No, just a little. The fire's out there. You just put enough, one little coal
just
on there,
tiny coal.
Just to smoke it, flame it
wow.
up like that. And so, like, all you know, three or four people are under there, and pretty soon they're yeah. giggling a thing, and everybody's feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And when you look at the drug market out in the world, how many substances are for sale on the market just to alter your mood, mm-hmm. to feel good? You know, Valium, all those other things. You know. And okay, so, but look at the inspirational thing, right? Mm-hmm. If you're inspired, you're going to forget about your physical problems. And
but those pharmaceutical drugs don't necessarily inspire you. I mean, if you take Prozac, you kind of become
the kinds of other negative side effects.
Exactly.
It's desperation.
Yeah.
And even like, you know, some of the cannabis that I've encountered in other parts of the world where dominated by commercial narco-trafficante interests, uh-huh. for example, uh-huh. they do little things to the marijuana, like compress into bricks, spray ammonia on it, so yeah. it's not even good for you when you smoke
wow.
it.
Well, yeah, there are people who have had bad experiences with cannabis that, in some case, quite likely, well, it wasn't the cannabis that gave you the bad experience.
Right. Uh-huh.
It's what people put on it and do all the things.
Uh-huh. And the motivation right. around yeah. how right. they cultivated it for profit.
Well, now, that's a good point, mm-hmm. because that as judges in the Emerald Cup, you know, we find that we get a lot of, you know, entries just kind of, they just want a free ticket, it seems like, right? But we do get entries that seem like they're good. But at a certain point, you can tell one of two things, that, wow, there's still a lot of chemistry in the flower.
Yeah. So how can you, what do you mean by a lot of chemistry in the flower? Like they spent a lot of, they put a lot of puts, well, like fertilizers.
Yeah, a lot of amendments
and
fertilizers.
They may not have flushed them out properly.
And they say the plant was a little small. Very late in the season, they hit it with a lot of nitrogen,
uh-huh.
thinking that's going to veg it up.
Yeah.
Right? But they don't have enough time now from when they put the nitrogen to harvest for the nitrogen all to flow.
Interesting.
Right? Or even worse, now it's come to flower and the flowers aren't so big. You throw a bunch of phosphorus on and then... You shouldn't put anything on your plant for 2 weeks
so
before
you can taste that.
Yeah, one way you can tell, you can too, is it. Like, you know, if you get an ash that's at a joint that's really gets black,
mm-hmm.
you know,
black
the ash.
Ash
is just black, that's really not a good sign.
Oh, interesting.
That probably means what, nitrogen or something? What does that mean?
Yeah, I think it's the nitrogen and so on. That was they put it on too late
like
and too much
or
quantity.
If it hurts your throat, you know,
uh-huh.
either that harshness. Or it's not cured properly. That's the other thing. It could just have been really cured improperly.
You know, not... And then there's another thing that you can sense because, well, in terms of judging in the Emerald Cup.
Yes, so are both of you guys judge?
We have one vote, but we judge together.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah,
okay, so what are you looking for when evaluating high-end marijuana? And, well, first of all, like, is the Emerald Cup, is it only organic?
Yes.
Outdoor?
It's only organic, sun-grown.
Okay.
And we've been with it since, this will be its 12th mm-hmm. year coming up in the middle of December. You really should go there and do some
of it. Oh, my God. Yeah, I'd love to. December.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this year it's going to have like 10,000 people a day for Saturday, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this giant trade show, but it's cannabis related. And you can't believe it. You have to keep pinching yourself. Like, you know, and cops are walking by, security guards.
Oh,
and somebody's smelling cannabis. And there they've got these giant hash extractor machines and stuff. It's really amazing. Mm. And then we get to give away the awards. That's an honor that we get to stand on stage and give the top 20. So what we look for is looks, taste, and effects.
looks, smell, taste, and effects.
Yeah. Just like any consumer, really. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess you would do the same with wine.
Yeah, we the judges ourselves, we did this protocol. But it's basically based on, you know, you're going to buy a lid or you're going to buy one or something like that. First of all, you look at it. Is it just shaggy and a lot of leaf, or is it nicely trimmed?
So what is like an excellent look for, you know, quality bud here? Oh,
it's good. It would be something that's not too dense and thick. It has to be, but not spongy. You don't want it spongy or soft or something either. Although it might just be one of those really sativa kinds that get so open and there's the trim of all, actually. Yeah, yeah.
The first thing you look at is the trim.
The trim.
Is there a leaf on there?
Okay. If it's a mess, forget it. You know, if you're entering this contest, we want your best. Don't even waste your time.
Right. Really, because your neighbor put their best effort.
It's 670 entries.
Wow. So you have to taste 670.
But we have 6 weeks. It's not like in one day here.
But, the process is we look at it and see. So how's the trim? That's the first thing, color.
Okay.
What do the hairs look like? Uh-huh. Are they long and shaggy? Are they brown? Are they kind of tan?
Better, long and shaggy?
No, we're not trying to say better. We're trying to, is it?
Yeah. All right.
What is it, right? So what's the color? What's the kind of green? Is it a forest green? Is it a khaki green? And so on. We're grabbing this flower as well as we can. And then I'll get out a little 60-plus microscope. Now look, and I'll look at the trichomes, right?
Uh-huh.
Nikki never does, but I always do. And I always say, I don't know what it tells me in terms of the number, but I'm looking at the trichomes, right? So they're trichomes. You know what home is? If you look at it at a microscope.
What is a trichome?
It's a little stickly thing that's like that with a little kind of ball on the top. Yeah. You know how you have, say, straight pins have a little ball on the top of them, right? Good. Rather than a flat head, that's what a trichome looks like. And it contains of the medicine.
And they start off clear.
Well, they start
cloudy,
off
cloudy, actually. Right?
They start off clear, and then cloudy, and then amber.
Yeah.
And so, in terms of hot cannabis, one of the key things, of many key things actually, is when is the peak of harvest? And so, a lot of people are out there with microscopes looking at the flowers on their living bush, and they're trying to say what percentage of the amber trichomes, and the perfect percentage they are about up here in the hills. Is it 20% or 30% and so on?
Yeah, we really are like sommeliers, you know? We really do.
But I'm noting that, right?
Things.
And so, if it has two amber trichomes, it's actually past its peak.
Ooh, interesting.
As potency, right? Hmm. But if it hardly has any, then it's a little premature.
Okay.
So I've developed a technique where I can't make a rational decision about each plant. So a thing which, do you know about kinesiology, muscle testing, and that sort of thing, right? Strong, weak.
Uh-huh.
So, well, I have a thing where I do my fingers. And so I go out to each plant the night before, and I say to Anjuma, do you want to come in tomorrow? Are you ready to come in tomorrow? And they say, no. All right. And then I'll say, should I leave you? Yes. Go on to the next plant. Shakti, do you want to come in tomorrow? Are you ready to come in tomorrow? Yes. All right. Or should I leave? No. I always ask the double question. Mm-hmm. And if the yes answer on the is equal to the no answer to the other, then I know actually I've actually communicated plant. Mm-hmm. So the plant says, yes, I want to come in tomorrow. I'm at my peak. So they take off all the big leaves and the yellow leaves and kind of pare it down while it's still alive.
Uh-huh.
In the morning, I'll get up before sunrise, before daylight even, and I have a lamp, and I cut down the plant, right, the whole plant, and it's now up within 20 minutes after I cut it down.
Just the whole thing upside down.
The whole plant upside down.
There's many ways to do it.
But the point is that you're getting the peak.
We like this.
They've done surveys, and I'll show you a graph. Terpenes, which is where the smell comes from. That's at its peak just before dawn. So you want to cut it right then, and then you get the peak of the terpenes, which brings us to the second thing, which is smell, or I prefer to call it fragrance, right? Fragrance comes from terpenes. Terpenes are volatile organicals, which are in every plant matter. And even if it smells moldy and so on, from terpenes, or if it, so the terpenes are called limonene, pinene, citrine, and so on. Just imagine what the smells
are. But when we try to judge it, one of the things we really work on is to give, we're not wanting to say, it smells just like lemon kush or something. No, no. You want to say.
No, it's haze.
Yeah, or straight.
No,
we try to do it more like what it actually smells like. Oh, it smells like lemon meringue. you know, instead of a strain. You know, it's not like, you can't just say it smells like sour diesel. Yeah. Uh-huh. You're going to say it's like gym socks.
It smells like Simple Green. Or a moldy rag under the sink.
Oh,
and we get
God.
Stuff that does smell like uh-huh. that. But see, we had to do a transformation. We say, well, we can't say that's whether that's a good smell or a bad smell. No.
So moldy rag could actually be good weed.
Oh, yes, yeah. Very good yeah. weed. Very yeah. good weed.
Sink.
Because you're not finding, it's not whether I like that smell or not. It's what is that smell telling? It's telling me what the terpenes
yeah,
are.
And
since terpenes show up in all other vegetable matter, they've been researching terpenes for many years. And terpenes have fungal, antiviral, anti-cancer effects. Different ones yes. have different effects. So that. But now we've combined terpenes with cannabinoids and say, when the two work together, we know that the terpenes have medical qualities. Put them together with cannabis and it amplifies it. So the fragrance that you get is from the terpenes, but we're trying to make a reference. It smells like lemon, for example, all right? It smells like old sneakers. No, it smells like new sneakers, or it smells like igloo. Something outside the reference of cannabis that everyone knows. So we're sitting, we smoke everything in the same place, mm-hmm. right? So we're just sitting there, and what comes into your head, the thing that pops in.
Love this episode? You can receive the transcript for free by simply texting Entheonation, that's Entheonation, to the number 44222. All you need to do is to reply to the SMS message with your best email address, and we'll send you the transcript and our guide to navigating visionary states for free as a VIP citizen of Entheonation.
Like wine tasting, except
it's
with
exactly like wine.
Well, they would never say that this wine tastes swallow. Like moldy rats.
Yeah, with wine tasting, you wouldn't swallow. Right? But see, now with us, so on those two first qualities, the look mm-hmm. and the fragrance, we actually can eliminate about half the samples.
Yeah. So, well, not half, maybe a third.
Yeah. At the end, it was a half.
By the end, by the end, when you have 670 samples. You have to get really critical. And so that's why we always, when we're on stage giving out the awards, we try to encourage people to enter next year to, like I say, give us your best, mm-hmm. you know, make sure it looks good or we're not yeah. going to have time to look at it.
Okay. So basically, you know? Before you even taste it, you smoke it, you're already kind of discerning it visually
right.
by the scent.
And fragrance, right.
Okay. So because that means you don't have to smoke all 600.
That's exactly right. Because over the found, number one, that terpenes are very important. So if I get a sample, and see, by the way, what we get... like a little canister, like an old-fashioned film mm-hmm. can with a number on it mm-hmm. and a button. Mm-hmm. And that's all we know. We don't know strain. We don't know where it came from. We know nothing. This bud, it's number so-and-so.
Completely blind.
And with the judges and one another, we just talk about numbers. Did you have 67?
Right.
Wow, that's really, really good.
And
right?
the contestants are given a different number.
Right. So there's one set of numbers and we have another set of numbers. Right?
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Right? So it's mm-hmm. a blind that
yeah.
way. And so... if I have a sample now, it's a little shaggy. They haven't really the leaves off, right? You still see those little crow's feet, you know, that you can see on them. And okay, that's it's now it's not going to get 9.5 points. It's going to get 9.1.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we go and okay, now it has no smell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to look any further.
Yeah. Gosh,
but
okay.
Sometimes we've had some ugly ones.
Ugly ones.
And then we go forward.
But terpenes are so important, we yeah. find, in the entourage mm-hmm. of a cannabis has. If you give me a sample that has no terpenes, then I'm sorry, you're competing with people where what we call jar-jumping terpenes. You open it up and boom, you just
yeah.
smell it instant, right? So that means that the grower really knew how to fertilize, they knew how to cure, and all of that. And they knew how to flush out. Right.
Okay.
So now that's two yeah. qualities.
Then okay. we go into this. And so now Swami does the rolling while I take the notes. At the end of this thing, we have a thick book of, you know, really a binder size thick one. Full of, and so each one, you know, we like to give each one credit. Even if we don't smoke it, the whole thing. We'll
mm-hmm. make comments about
so,
it.
So, you know, yeah. he'll feel it. Is it sticky? You know, how he rolls it? How does it feel when you roll it?
It comes about the cure.
Yeah, that tells a lot about the
how
cure.
How pure is it? We get stuff that's hardly dry because it's December and they have, oh, this yeah. is my best one. It's hardly dry, but I'll enter anyway. And if it's actually too wet, I don't even
yeah,
roll
okay.
it.
Mm-hmm. So then we do a dry hit. And that's that everybody should do at home. which is...
What's a dry hit?
A dry hit is like, so you roll up a joint, and I guess it would work with a pipe, I don't know. And so you take a hit, and you just dry it before you, and you just to taste it. Mm. It's going to be pretty similar usually to the smell, because these are all connected, the tips and all that stuff.
Right.
But it's just kind of a nice thing to do. You know, it's like a little taste ceremony.
Because when we smell it, I have it on my little rolling tray. And our noses are right in the duff, right? Seriously. And actually, we get sneezes quite a bit. It's really something. But then the second you roll it all up, and before you light it, take a deep drag of it, right? Mm-hmm. That's when you get the terpenes.
Yeah.
And that's kind of when it tastes a little bit like a vape.
Okay.
Right? You do the terpenes, right?
Right, right.
So now,
and then we smoke it,
right.
And then it's like basically okay. So say in the first couple of hits, it feels too harsh, has no flavor at all, has a flavor we can't stand. That happens. There's something like you go, ugh.
But there's a question because sometimes that really strong flavor that I don't like is actually really, really good stuff. Like for example, here there were a lot of tangerine, or we call them tangy entries, right? A lot of tangies, and you know what? I just don't like that flavor.
Mm.
I mean, it just rubs me the wrong way. Right.
Yeah.
But I know I can judge that this is a weak tangy and this is a strong tangy.
Hmm.
Right. And it's going to get pulling a strong tangy, but it might not get quite as many points for me as if it's a lemony, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Just that little difference. So I'm going to give it credit for being good at what it is. But ultimately, when it comes down, if these two are tied, mm-hmm. I'm going to go with the
wine. Well, then it tastes like wine or anything else.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
It would just be that.
So now sometimes we'll take one hit at, or judge a hit on flavor when I'm lighting it. So I'll light it up, take a puff, so get it, and I'll pass it to Nikki. And I won't say anything. And then Nikki will take a couple of hits on it. And then she'll pass me, and I'll take it. And then we kind of throw out words, what comes in, and so on, right?
And so that's like this thing where you have to, we try to give the flavor of something that's actually a tangible thing, not just some, it tastes just like Kush,
And we read the wine reviews before.
I'll tell you, we do.
We do.
By about number 300, we get desperate.
But see, with wine, you do the same thing. When you pour a glass, mm-hmm. you look at it. And what's mm-hmm. the color of the red? Or what's the color of the white? That's the same in the evaluation. And then you stick your nose in the glass, right? And what do they call that? The nose? Right?
Knows,
right? Yeah. They call it the nose. So that's the difference that you're getting because, see, your tongue doesn't taste flavor. Your tongue tastes sour, sweet, salt. But what your taste is when you chew something, the tones are liberated and come out through your nose as you exhale. So the flavor of food comes from terpenes, and that comes from your respiratory system, right? The flavor that you taste should be similar to the one that inhaled.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, that's another thing is, wow, this doesn't taste at all.
Sometimes it's not, too.
Right.
And so, it's not
necessarily
really
you like that taste.
But this you're disappointed. It's like, wow, it's really beautiful.
Really?
Okay, wow.
Smells great.
Okay. Oh, wow, it smells great. Oh, it tastes like shit.
Aww.
I know. And you're like, oh. Or you'll do the whole thing and get high. Like, we'll check in an hour later with each other.
So that there's all these qualities of things that does it stay consistent, right?
Uh-huh.
Does it keep, if it disappoints at one layer, then, like it has no taste. Well, I'll take a couple more, see if it still has no taste. Then I don't smoke the rest of the joint.
But then there's another thing, because we just get a few little samples, right, of 2 grams or something. When we go and meet with judges, which we do about once every 10 days over the 6 weeks, and we'll have a meeting and we'll have all these there of each one's entry, not just a dinky little sample, but the full jar. Maybe 2.5
mason
ounces
jars.
At that point.
Mm-hmm.
600 mason jars.
600
The big ones.
Each
the two
with a number
ones,
on top.
Each with a number on top. All laid out.
So go back and say this one, it looked good. No, it tasted good. It's good. It's just such an ugly bud. When you can go back and say, hey, maybe I just got a funky piece.
And you can
and
say,
your jar, and you
what's
say,
the
oh,
bud
actually,
really look
a really
like?
Beautiful
okay.
piece.
So
you know?
We go back. We
So yeah. we yeah. try to be really yeah. fair. Yeah. That's why
but
it
see,
takes
there's another
weeks.
Thing about the judging as an entire process that we've evolved over the years. There's something about, one of the judges, Field, said, we judge, we trust each other's judgment. And the reason that we trust each other's judgment is that year in and year out, why don't we figure out what are the top 10, right? And all the time while you're singing, you were, Jesus, am I alone? Is anyone else like
exactly.
this? You know,
so
are we completely out of it going on? And then you get there, and in the end, we get a list of the top 10 after a long process, you know, basketball, March Madness, you know, semifinals, finals, quarterfinals, all that stuff. Right. So in the end, you get this top 10, and every one of the judges in the top three, right, the top are always in every judge's top 10.
Yeah, it's amazing. And they really stand out.
Their agreement is something.
Yeah, that's probably the most common question we ever get about being judges is, folks, so many still feel it. How do you
How do you tell? Because it's not like you can spit it out like wine.
But yet, he does, because
and
what you do is you get to such a buzz level of stoneness that if something cuts through that, you stop and listen.
Right.
You know, you notice.
But see, there's also how does it look and how does it smell? So the smell thing, you can keep that up. So a lot of people smell coffee. They smell coffee grinds between testing.
Oh,
right.
Right. But it's not like you're going to get too stoned to smell, really, because actually, as you go, your smell increases, your smelling ability increases, right? So we don't lose. But there's also, see, we actually smoke a lot all year long, and I always joke, and we have to stay in shape for the Emerald Cup, right? Because... But we don't call 650 because if it don't pass the look and the fragrance test, I don't go any further. And then on the test, if it's a really black ash or some sort of weirdness or harshness, we don't finish it.
Okay. Yeah,
but then the ones that are beautiful, fragrant, tasty, we smoke them all the way down.
Okay.
And that's what makes a difference with the wine.
And then you kind of see in some, of course, now with the facts, even no matter how far along we are into it, some of them like to kind of hit you right upside the head, you know, boom, you know, that kind. And then there's the kind that takes a long come on a while later. Or the kind that has the escalation kind of thing, you can tell. There's so many, the kind of where you want to talk and be social.
Right,
the kind
or some make you laugh, right?
So how do you judge on effects? Like what are some
that's
of the
what we're talking about.
This is
discernible.
What you're looking for.
Okay.
And like I say, we do the set and setting is always the same. So that does help. Because you're kind of always in the same place. It's always in our living room on the couch there. So basically in the same positions, you know.
Yeah, right.
That's what we're doing.
But what's the deal with some of the marijuana that makes you paranoid? I remember some of that.
Well, there is some marijuana that's like that. Actually, this kind of may chop, but it could occasionally have to, at least when we're judging, we think that has to do with where it comes from. That was put into it when it was either
grown.
You can really feel it. I know it sounds like bull. And maybe they put in some chemicals and we don't know about it too. It's a vibe that could get in there. It also can have nothing at all to do with the cannabis, and it can have everything to do with the person smoking it. Some people physically just have that reaction. And it's like absolutely any medicine you can take, any pharmaceutical, whatever, there's going to be certain people, certain reactions.
And certain strains
and
cause
that
more
that
than others.
Okay.
Yeah.
Certain
yeah, yeah.
strains definitely cause certain kinds of people. I mean, let's face it, no one medicine is good for every person for every condition, right? There definitely are situations where someone might have a propensity to have that kind of action normally anyway or in a situation, and the cannabis might make that more likely. So
sometimes it may, I mean, not all the time, but it sometimes has to do with people who the drug, you know, I've seen that with different ethnogens as well, you know, people who feel that they're stronger than it or something and don't just relax and enjoy, you know, just enjoy.
But there also could come, you know, a mini crisis in your daily environment that all of you now, because of this mini crisis, whatever, you do have paranoid thoughts.
But I think actually it just gets down to some sort of physiological thing.
Yeah.
And when they finally make this leak, nationwide, federally, and all that, we'll be able to do the research that should have been happening for years. And we wouldn't be just guessing at these little bits of knowledge that we know. I mean, imagine if we actually had UCSF and going crazy on studying on this.
Right.
They'd be finding things the pharmaceutical companies would be going nuts.
But there's a thing about the paranoia because, I mean, a lot of citizens are law-abiding citizens. And they pride themselves on being law-abiding citizens, and they don't want to break the law, right? And it's funny, it happened with some of these families who have children with epilepsy, and they live in a state where they can't get cannabis. So do I break the law and get cannabis for my health? there's a paranoia that would never be associated with that. These are, you know, you're standbiting citizens, right? Mm. Not to say that we aren't, but the fact that they are in a situation where medicine they need, they can't get mm-hmm. because it's illegal. So they have to move. People mm-hmm. have literally moved to us where they now can get it. Why? Because their child now has one epileptic seizure a month when it used to have 20 a day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. listen.
Right? Amazing. And that, you know, that brings me to another thing we talk about, which is to say that the medical quality of cannabis saves lives, right? We've said so many years now that, okay, so many people die from alcohol, so many people from tobacco, but nobody has died from cannabis, right? Okay, let's ask a new question. The new question is, how many people have died because they couldn't get cannabis? How many people have died because it's illegal and they didn't want to break the law? How many people went blind from glaucoma? How many people have epileptic seizure? How many people died of various forms of cancer? How many people have died from concussions, from post-traumatic stress, and have a miserable life? And cannabis could have at least relieved those symptoms, if not cured them. And to deny those people the possibility of getting the exact right medicine for their condition seems to me blatantly immoral and illegal. And it's something that ultimately, I don't know, can you sue the DEA for stopping people from their medicine?
I think so.
Right? No, you can't. But the fact of the matter is, thousands, if not millions, of people have died or suffered and had a miserable life because cannabis denied them. At the same time as for the last 20 years, approximately 700,000 to 800,000 people are arrested every year for cannabis possession.
Seems absolutely ludicrous that this keeps going on.
Yes, it seems mm-hmm. does. And what sense. And cannabis is, to go back to the theme of your show, cannabis is an entheogen. It's a sacred plant that's a gift from the gods to humans. It's the most useful plant for of all plants in the entire plant kingdom. Cannabis has more uses for humans than probably any other three plants. I mean, okay, there's coconut, which is mad, right? And there's peanuts and all these other things, soy and so on. But cannabis includes all of that. Mm. You know, it's food, it's oil, it's fuel, it's paper, it's building materials. It's the most amazing plant. And to deny access to it, to deny use of it to the, is actually absolutely one of the stupidest things, sinful things, immoral that any government could ever do. And then to put all these people, we have more people in jail in this country than anywhere else in the world. And most of those numbers are from cannabis.
So as we approach the end of this interview, which I feel like I could just keep talking to you guys with your
push the
wealth
button,
of information.
Here we go.
Oh my gosh. But I'd love to just, you know, or two last questions with you. I guess the first is, where do you see the cannabis industry going? So, you know, in this conversation, I've gotten the understanding, indeed, there's a lot of science in the medicine, you know, of using cannabis, genetics, you know, the understanding of the genetics and how we can use the different strains, the different combinations, THC and CBD to treat different ailments. And then we're seeing a whole trend of, you know, movement towards legalization. So like, you know, allowing medical marijuana. And then we're seeing places movement towards decriminalization and recreational use. So
inspirational use.
Yes, inspirational use. Exactly. So, you know, as we move in that direction, like it's inevitable. It's just a matter of time. Where do you see the cannabis industry going? So this is what I envision. I envision high-end pot tours in the Emerald Triangle where people can sample different kinds of, you know, well-cultivated ganja from farms, small organic farms, and then in between enjoy five-star Michelin restaurant in Nevada City.
And between courses at that five-star restaurant, perhaps have mm-hmm. a little cannabis
it's possible.
Appetite stimulator.
I mean, as a realist, however,
okay,
it's one thing to go from the Bay Area around here, to go from the Bay Area where most people would come from, to the wine country. Is an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. To go up here, it can be 4 hours.
You need an airplane.
Yeah.
Like an airport.
But the train is coming soon.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
No, the train, it's already going to Sonoma. Riverdale, it's only going to be a little while before the train comes all the way. The train, you know, the train used mm-hmm. to go from the landing all the way to Eureka. Mm-hmm. And the tracks are there, but they've been out. So it'd be very expensive to rebuild.
Anyway, we'll see if that happens.
Right.
But
But people would...
As far as the future of it, who knows?
Yeah.
We have absolutely no clue. And we
do you think there's going to be a phase out of indoor, more people can grow?
It would be
grow.
Wonderful. I mean, that would be our... In a perfect world, people of the world who smoke cannabis would all realize that, like anything else, it's better an organic, clean product that's grown consciously into your body than something that's grown chemically under lights and all of that. That's not good for the planet's environmental concerns. Seems good. So that would be the perfect world, that people would realize that. And in that case, it would be the small farmers would live, you know, there would be a place for us as the end wine. Of course, that is what we relate to because we're creating appellations up here, just like for wines. And it's very much that.
Well, so, there's a legislature that's kind of working through the California Senate and Assembly. One of the qualities that we're trying to a category of, what are we saying? Heritage specialty cultivators.
Yeah.
Heritage specialty cultivators that use old school methods for growing cannabis. And that one of the qualities of that would that they would be organic. Then in order to be classified that, you have to be organic. And so that would be a model for that you would have to be.
Right? Not only that, it would be hand, you know, as opposed to machine trimmed, right? What are all the other things we've talked about?
Well, you'd have to identify your water source to say that this is that legitimate use of your water, you know, that it's organic, that it's hand trimmed, and that it's sun grown, and those things can be certified. We are certified as a clean green operation. We oil is tested and so on. And so what we're talking about is what in wine you'd call boutique wine production, and, you know, we're cannabis high end, which means that you're very aware of what you're putting in your body. And that one of the things that's, you know, indoor, you know, takes about 3 months to produce. And sun-grown takes 7 to 8 months. So for me, during those 7 to 8 months, it's being charged by the sun, filled with all that energy. And likewise, as I say, it's being charged by the moon and the star, right? And it's in the real ground. So there's a connection of, you know, outer to inner, the ground to solar, so on. And so now the cannabis is actually a product, you know. And so that has more energy in it.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're talking about now is, say, the Central Valley of California, which has a lot of acreage and agricultural water and all that, and a lot of knowledge, that they would have greenhouses and light. And they're going to produce huge quantities of high quality, you know.
It'll be good. It'll probably be killer weed.
Yeah.
Because they'll have it all THC. They'll know how to just do it perfectly.
And they'll use all of their shake and trim for the concentrates. Right.
So generally the public wants something that has lots of bling, you know,
a lot of crystal on it and so on.
And
we find that doesn't have
much
in the cup
THC.
With whether it's stone.
No, so many people will say, the first thing they ask, how high is the THC? It's not really what it's all about, you know?
See, at the cup, we have the winners did, right? The top 20 are tested. And every year, the winner is not the highest seed.
Never.
In fact, last year, in 2014, number 20 had more seed than number one.
Yeah. Wow, interesting.
And part of the reason for that is the numbers we judge for A-plus look, A-plus fragrance, A-plus taste, A-plus effects. Right, and the one with the highest THC, maybe it has really good effects too, was down on these other things. So this is the Emerald Cup. This is the best plant grown in Northern California, all of California now, this year. It's got to be A+++.
What are the top effects that you look for?
I don't know. We're looking.
Effects.
Like if it makes you laugh a lot, is that like a 10?
Yeah, I'd say for me it would be. You know, people probably have their own effects.
Yeah.
Creativity, socialness.
Right. Well, see, the thing is that we have also kind of vague,
physical things.
You know, is this a morning joint?
Physically?
You know, you go ready to go, right? Or is this a couch potato joint?
Uh-huh.
There are other ones. Okay, this is a maintenance. You know, keep your THC level constant, but you're not feeling that boost, right? Is this one to party? Is this a laughing, fun one? Is this just like, oh God, I have to do that stick sort of stuff? You know.
Prefer the ones that like wake me up, but then again, sometimes you just sleep.
You just want to chill out, right? And so there are ones that are effective for that, you see.
Okay.
So I always ask, what's your favorite one? And I really find that difficult to answer because sometimes I'll smoke one just because smell and the flavor. Mm-hmm. I want that. And I'm not really thinking so much about what the effects are. But where others I know, okay, I need to do this, I better not smoke that one.
Got it. Okay. Last question, but I want to pose it to both of you. This is my favorite question because I love working with sacred plant allies for insight and wisdom. And I want to ask you, in your experience working with the sacred plant, marijuana, cannabis, and getting to know her spirit, what's the most visionary experience you've had and what did you learn from it? Nikki, do you recollection?
Visionary. I have to think about that because, of course, visionary, I think more of other kinds of entheogens. Mm-hmm. A little more visionary in that sense. It's because at least visually visionary. Otherwise, as far as just insightfulness.
Yeah, even insights that I would see that as a kind of form of vision.
This kind of sounds scary, but I've been smoking since I was 14 and I'm 60 and I've smoked every day of my life. So to pinpoint that is really a big question. Do you have a clue about that? That's a tough one. Because, I mean, if you were to ask me about psychedelics, yeah, in a minute I'll tell you some different things. Meditation or something like that.
Okay.
But it's like every day. It's who I am. It's become a part of me. It's
The LSD and things like that, which we've done, they're like peak moments, but you don't do them every day.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And actually, I have some friends who actually train them every day. And ended up somewhat disoriented. But with cannabis, you can, and you get that little audition. In fact, there's a whole thing. It's like, at a certain point, it's, oh, you know.
Okay, wait, I thought of one thing.
Mm-hmm.
No, but this doesn't even count. This is just like one of the times I got the most like knocked out. Mm. But it was that hashish in Afghanistan. Back in 1977,
yeah, right.
That everyone calls one toke blackout. But is that a good thing? You know, that's not really a higher consciousness, though, right?
All right.
But that was memorable.
Uh-huh.
What came to mind, I always like to just throw out the first thing, was that, one action, I was out in the garden with my plants, and they're now really big, really huge. I mean, they're like 6 or 7 feet in litter, they're 10 feet high, and they're just all over the place. And that year we had really beautiful female names for all of them, Gloria and Agnes. I mean, they're all these great names. And so I'm looking at mold because someone said there can be mold on the tip. You get this brown mold on the tips of the branches. And I'm looking all over, is there mold over here? Mold over? And I'm not even sure why I was looking at that plant, but I just went in there. And so I feel something tap me on the shoulder. And so there's nobody here. So I'm looking for mold on this plant. I'm not seeing any. Another tap on the shoulder. So I turn around, and right here, there's the mold.
Oh, right. Interesting.
And so it's like, okay, I'm talking to the plant, or the plant's talking to me. And other times, I'll see a plant, and now that one wants water. But then one of the key things was I had some sprouts. And when you sprout up a cannabis seed, it looks a little bit like a bean sprout, right? White and so mm-hmm. on. You use the husk of the shell on it, right? And it's kind of a little slightly hairy, this sprout, right? It's about long. The seed. So then you put that in the ground, right? And starts to grow and it shoots out a little thing. And then it's above the ground, it's maybe like that. And there's two little round leaves. And then about, you know, 3 or 4 days later, two little pointed leaves come out. So there's two round leaves, there's two pointed leaves this way. So that's when I transplant them into a slightly bigger one, right? And now I transplant it and all the root ball falls off it. And it's just, oh God, this is a catastrophe. The root ball, you know, how is the plant going to survive? Well, it's a very hardy weed, so it will survive. I'm looking at, and all I've got is, it looks like my beard hair, right? And a little bit up here with a little, tiny little leaves on it. So this thing is maybe 10 days old,
mm-hmm.
right? Now I have this pot, and I punch a hole in the pot. And I try to put the seedling into the pot. And as soon as I get, there's dirt here. As soon as it gets to this, the root jumps, and it literally jumps to the side, and I pull it out and said, that's deep enough. And it goes in and it jumps to the side again. So what's happening is this root is sensing the soil
mm-hmm.
that it just was stripped of.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It wants soil, it wants moisture, cover, it wants all those things, it wants darkness, it wants mama. Right? So I put it in and it just, I put, that means that most of the root's still out. So I say, I talk to it now the third time and I say, and it's not deep enough. So I say, and I, wow, I just jump it in real quick. And then I tuck the soil around. I realize now that this root, this little plant, 10 days old, is conscious. It knows where the soil is. It knows it wants it. And it moved. Where was the muscle that made this thing move?
Yeah, right. Wow.
Right? And where was the awareness up? And so I started thinking about, you have a seed, the seed sprouts, but it needs water, it needs this, it needs warmth, and it also needs day, night. So there's four things it has to be aware of. The seed before it sprouted. And it has to have a decision-making process. Fifth thing that says, okay, I got water, I got heat, I got dark, and I got day and night. It's time to sprout. If it's missing any one of those things, it doesn't sprout. So already the seed has consciousness of moisture, of heat, of light, and of decision-making. And that consciousness now comes into us molecularly.
What do you think we could learn from Mother Abyss as a plant ally?
Just that we're connected, that we can talk with them, that we're connected with. We have it in us, right? You know that chlorophyll and hemoglobin are almost the same thing?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, if you take a dry chlorophyll and a diagram of hemoglobin, hemoglobin has one extra molecule of iron.
So that's why smoothies are so good for you.
Yeah, that's how we're 96 the same percent genetic as the best, supposedly.
Right? Yeah.
But somehow the chlorophyll and hemoglobin are similar things, so similar, in fact, that there's only one molecule of iron that makes them different. And so that's how close we are to the plant world, and we can talk to the plant world, and the plant talks to us. And if we pay attention and listen, the plant world will help us come to this. But we can't say that we're the boss. You know, we have to say, hey, plant world, listen, we're trying to hear
what you're
saying.
I think they're the boss, actually.
Yeah. Nature has the last laugh. And so we have to be willing to open up and listen to how we can make our... So, you know, the way we grow cannabis is to be in harmony with our natural environment and to produce a product that takes... So, like, we take our seed and we have a goddess, Ganja Ma, the goddess of cannabis. Mm-hmm. And we put our seeds on her before we plant them for a moon cycle. And I say a mantra. And then with the seeds to sprout, I have water from the sacred Ganges River in India. And each gets a drop of Ganges River water, which is sacred water. And then a mantra again. And then when I transplant again, another drop of Ganges water and a mantra. And harvest, the first flower goes back to the lap of the god. So that's the way, the intention for this wonderful miracle plant to inspiration and healing and harmony to the people who use it.
That is so beautiful. Thanks for sharing with us your process of working with the plants. No wonder this is so good.
Well, we set the intention that way, and we keep that energy already on.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
So how can we best stay in touch with you and discover some of the
cannabis
we can do an
advertisement for our show.
www.swamiselect.com.
We're on YouTube.
Oh, great.
Right, at Swami Select. And we also are developing a site also that's, still in the process.
Well, that's pretty much there. It's an educational tool.
You can go to it. But I'm learning. I just got my first computer a month ago or something.
Someone's helping me.
There are people helping us. But so,
farmers.
Anyway, just learning the process, uploading stuff and so on. But yeah, there's stuff on both YouTube and our own website,
SwamiSelect.com.
And Swami Select on YouTube.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for what you're doing, too.
Really great. It's an honor to be on your show.
It's an honor to be here and with these beautiful people for this wonderful gathering. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's great.
Thanks.
So I'm really excited to be joining Nikki and Swami for their annual family gathering on their farm in the heart of the Emerald Triangle. It's going to be an epic tribal gathering of visionary culture hackers, artists, and musicians camping out for a few days in the gorgeous mountains of Mendocino, California. Don't forget to check out our awesome cannabis resources at entheonation.com/16. And if anyone you know needs to know about the medical benefits of marijuana, please do share Entheonation with your friends and family via social media. You can get access to our transcript library by texting Entheonation, that's Entheonation, to the number 44222. Just reply to the SMS with your best email and never miss an episode. I also recommend that you mosey on over to Entheonation on YouTube to check out some of our exclusive video field reports at Visionary Gatherings and Spotlights on Modern Shamanic Life in the Amazon. And now, please enjoy Mama's Night Tune by Outer Sect from the album Fenris Licks Your Hand.